Hello and welcome to Rhythm and Brews. I'm joined by two guests today. First-timer but long-time friend, BWK.
What's up?
Listeners may know him from the Conquest podcast. You've been on that two or three times, I want to say.
Yeah, I think three.
All great episodes.
Thanks
for being here.
Remember that one that we did together and we talked about Nintendo for 2 hours?
Yeah. And I could have talked about it for more.
Brian's literal dream.
And then new friend and first-time guest, Keith Lyons.
Hello.
Welcome, guys. You're here today to talk to us about the band The Format. This is a little bit more obscure than most of the bands that we've done on the show or profiled on the show to date, I would say.
A bit niche-y, I'd say.
Well, didn't you do like a metal episode?
Touche. Specifically a Viking metal episode.
Yeah, I think this is probably a little more mass market.
Actually, yep. 100% it is.
Yep, now that I think about it, it is. But it's just, I mean, they're not necessarily a household name. Like the bands that, like the specific band profiles we've done before have been like Oasis and...
Okay, it's not to that caliber.
Yeah, but it's funny though too because of where Nate has gone from after The Format.
True.
Because The Fun is a huge, huge band.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are they still active? I mean, I'm sure they're still...
They haven't been for a little bit.
But they were massive.
They were huge. That album was, like, insane.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you guys big Fun fans?
Their first album, yes. Their second album, not as much, but I still like it.
I feel the same way.
It's kind of how I feel about a lot of bands' follow-up projects where you're like, it's just not the same. Like, it reminds me too much of the original thing that I like more.
Certainly their first album, for sure. Their first album basically is a format. Are we derailing your intro?
A little bit, because I don't even think I've introduced the name of the band.
Oh,
did
yeah.
I?
No, you did. You did. Oh, okay. You absolutely did. Yeah.
But I actually
don't think you did.
Like, no, he did. He said The Format.
I know Keith is pretty sure you did, but I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Can go either way.
The name of the band is The Format, which I was telling some people about this yesterday, and I was like, they were like, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, oh, The Format. And they're like, no, we know The Format, but like, what? what music are you talking about? So I think at their time, like when they were like 2008 is when they broke up, right?
Yeah.
Around that time, they were relatively well known for anybody who was like a fan of indie pop rock, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say now they've kind of faded into memory unless you were like a big fan at the time.
Yes.
I feel like if you found a treasure chest at the bottom of the ocean and there was a Format CD in there, that would be something you like as a new young person discovering music. If you found that treasure chest, like this would be a really good gem in there. Is that a good way to describe what I'm trying to say?
It's very well put.
Sure.
Because I looked at both of you looking at each other, being your eyes wide open. Being like,
where's he going with this?
I was waiting for it to drop. You dropped the axe and it was perfect.
Thanks, Keith.
So the band had two albums, Interventions and Lullabies and Dog Problems. So I think you guys came prepared with lists off of both of those albums, correct?
Oh yeah,
yes.
So
we have not talked about these lists.
So you guys
may overlap.
You might have some overlap. I think that's fine.
I think there's at least one song that all of us will have. So are you making a list?
I'm not.
Okay.
So this is a relatively new change to the show. For the most part, there might be some episodes where it's more of a roundtable feel, but for the most part, I'm going to keep it more interview style, where it's not as much about me and more about my guests. That's just for you guys, and I may take that out, but...
Don't edit.
Fair enough. No, that's fine.
But that's the idea, is that I'm not necessarily going to contribute a playlist every time, and then that saves me a little bit of work, and I can put that extra time into putting together a little shitty, torn up pieces of paper with your Jeopardy categories on them. So...
I mean, it's very high tech.
Normally, whatever. So that's fine.
Well on our way to being off the rails already.
Of course.
That's why I didn't finish my thought.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Before we get into the playlists themselves and talking about those two albums, we always start with a segment we call BYOB, where we talk about the beers we brought and why we brought them. So, Keith and BWK, what are you drinking today and why?
So, Brian and I brought a collective beer. We brought...
We've been collecting these beers.
They're collector's items. It's a notch left of the dial. So a couple reasons why I brought this band, why I brought this beer. Well, first of all, I wanted to bring another beer.
Oh, sure. Tell us about the one you didn't bring.
Well, I wanted to bring it. It doesn't exist anymore. It's this company called Pretty Things. I don't know if you've heard of them.
It doesn't ring a bell, no.
They were a beer project from Somerville, where I live, Massachusetts. And they had amazing beers for a few years, and they were just a guy and his wife that made beer in Somerville, and
it is taking you so there was, long to say.
There's a huge well. Here's the thing is the thing about the format is they're a lot about. Subverting the genres and subverting music industry. A lot of their songs are about their name is about how the music industry wants bands to make singles, right? And some of their songs are about their record deals and stuff like that. And that's sort of how Pretty Things was. So I wish I could have brought them because they were a lot about subverting the beer industry. But instead, I had to bring Notch, which is not at all about subverting the music industry or the beer industry
or music industry for that
or
matter.
Music industry for that matter. But they are the left of the dial has to do with college radio stations and stuff like that, and that's where the format got their start. Is on the college radio stations and the stuff that's on the left of the dial on the radio. So
that's great. I love that.
It's like a really good,
way better than my choice. I really struggled with this one. Ultimately, I went with Dogfish Head 90 minute IPA. Nope, I didn't. 60 minute. And the reason my favorite of the two albums is Dog Problems. So Dogfish. That's kind of the tie-in there. But also, if you listen to the album, and don't fact-check me on this, it comes out to exactly 60 minutes.
Oh, well, my God. To the second?
Well,
it
does. The song the song on Dog Problems, I'm Actual, I think it is, doesn't he say, for the next hour, let's talk about me?
Yeah.
Holy yep, shit.
Does, and that's 60 minutes.
Can I take this from the top? all right, let's crack into these, and then we'll get into it.
Okay, and I don't, excuse me, I don't drink beer or alcohol.
Do you know what this is going to taste like?
I don't know what this is going to taste like. I don't drink a lot.
You're a good sport for coming on and drinking beer. I've had a handful of people come on lately that are wusses. You're going to hate that.
No, it's actually kind of fruity.
It's good. It's really drinkable.
Is it fruity? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, it can. Yeah. I mean, everybody tastes different things when they drink beer.
Uh-oh.
But no, it is. It does have a fruit, a fruity taste to it. IPAs can do that. Have
sure.
a slightly fruity.
I'm going to give it another sip, and then I'm going to describe it perfectly.
I think you described it great.
Okay, it tastes like. I feel like my voice changed since I sipped it.
You're entering puberty
because you
it's
just
okay,
became
man.
A man. Yeah.
I became a man live on the air. it tastes like kind of thick, but it tastes like it is thick, mm-hmm. but it is smooth. Like it doesn't have like a bitterness to it, and then it does taste fruity, flowery.
It has a bit of a bitter aftertaste, but it's not bitter forward, which is pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's what I was afraid you were going to encounter, was that it was too bitter for you, which is what a lot of people say about IPAs the first time they try them.
Mm-hmm.
And in my wife's case, the first 100 times she tried them. so, yeah, I'm glad
you're
not...
I don't think I could drink a whole thing of this.
Well,
I mean, I'll try.
You're going to.
I will certainly try.
I'm going to peer pressure you into it. But fortunately, you also brought your Coca-Cola to cut the beer, in your words.
Well, I brought Coke because Nate Roos definitely does a lot of Coke, right?
That sounds right.
You see how like skinny that guy is?
Generally speaking, I don't enjoy slandering people on my show, but that sounds appropriate. I mean, that sounds right.
Well, I actually have a lot to say about him, so we can...
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's start with Interventions and Lullabies, the first of their albums. This came out around, what, 2006?
No, really? No. Yeah, 2003.
Yeah, I think it was early. Yeah, it was earlier than...
Maybe even 2002. They did do a re-release with some bonus tracks. I think maybe that's what's showing up on Spotify, if you're looking at Spotify.
Okay, yep. Well, who wants to kick us off? What...
I mean, the
you
first
both have the first single on.
Yeah, that's on my list too. Yeah, I can switch my list so we can do one extra song for this.
I think it's fine. Just keep it natural.
Can you turn that notch up a little bit? It's just a little left of not loud enough.
It's gonna pick up, and I don't want to drown out the conversation.
Oh, okay. Whatever you do, you do your life. so the first single is definitely the first on my list of songs for this band. This is the song that totally got me into this group.
Same. Me too.
And is the song I remember most fondly. And I think at the time, I didn't really care too much about music. And now I've come full circle on that. And I don't care too much about music anymore. I also am like I think I'm famous for not knowing how to talk about music or beer.
great guest.
Not for lack of trying.
What am I doing on this show? but I am just, I still, like, to this day, I hear this song and I want to clap at this moment. But I'm not on key or time. So
I was like, it's been a while since I listened to this song because, like I said, Dog Problems is my favorite of the two albums, but this song is undeniably a banger. And so I was playing it back to Kat the other day, and I was like, you know this song? What do you know about this song? And she was like, easy. And I was like doing the claps and stuff. She was like, you're such a loser. She divorced me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you for announcing it live on
yeah.
the...
Yeah, you, so now we all
Rhythm
know.
Rhythm and Brews listeners are the first to know. I'm on the market, baby. My predominantly male audience.
Hey, do you, man?
Yeah, hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Maybe
yeah.
there's a time for a change, Tim.
You're just done with women.
You should piss off your parents even more.
Let's not slander my parents. They are very supportive people.
You are slandering everyone today,
BWK. Who love me no matter what.
No, I didn't mean to say anything negative about your parents. I love your parents.
Marcel and Roy are saints.
You know what, Brian? Just get out.
Okay. That actually sounds fair right now.
No, don't. It's great.
Keith, tell You're us. Lovely talk about the first single.
So, honestly, actually, Brian got me into the format along with many, many, many of our friends. They have been this weird constant in my life forever. I've never not listened to these two albums, and specifically this song. I remember one time a friend of ours used to have karaoke nights every Wednesday, and all of our friends were there, like, every week. And one Wednesday, he put on this song in between sets of karaoke, and literally everyone in the bar was singing it out loud.
That's awesome.
And dancing, and like, it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
This song is the funnest song, like, ever.
I love it. It is such a good song, but it's also great as like a fuck you, because of, it's basically them saying, no, we know how to write the song that you want us to write. But and here's us doing it like with our hands tied behind our back, basically.
Yeah.
And it's also really good.
It's so good.
It reminds me of Sarah Bareilles' song "Love Song," which is basically about the same thing. Which is, I'm not going to write the song that my record company wants me to write, but this is the song.
This is the song that they asked for.
That they asked for. That's great. Yeah. Making fun of them, basically.
Yeah. And it's so funny because it's like, it's a fairly simple song. Thematically, you know, it's about having, you know, breaking up with a girl and them, you know, having a fight and you know, and him sort of like realizing that, you know, he did something wrong, but like it's just so much fun, you can't help but just love it.
And
anything with well-timed claps, I'm just such got a sucker.
Yeah,
you for can. That
yeah the song has several great clap moments in it. But in addition to this song, which is really high energy, I really like On Your Porch, if you want to play that one next. This one is the opposite. It is a very slow, like sweet song that has a really, really endearing theme of like try and fail. And I just think it's really sweet. He also sings a lot about his parents, which I think is adorable.
He does. Like so many songs are about his like parents and his family.
Yeah.
In a great way.
I think he really respects them. And he in on both albums, there's at least one song that is like directly about conversations with his parents, and that, and this is one from this album. Although, does he write the songs, or is it?
Yeah,
it's a collaborative.
He writes the lyrics, and Sam wrote the songs.
Okay, yeah. So this song is really sweet, and it's one of those songs that is slow but very singable. You know, like
yeah.
Some slow songs you have to have a good voice to sing along to, and I don't have that. But I feel like with this song, it's you can. It's a very singable song.
Yeah, well, it's got like a catchy melody that grips you despite the fact that it's not like an up-tempo song, so.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about music.
What is he, so it's about his parents. What is he saying specifically about them?
So I guess they had a tough time. I think his dad was sick. I mean, he specifically says his dad was sick.
That line was about that.
Not like a cool guy. Like, my dad was so sick.
Well, maybe he was.
So
he wrote a slow song about how sick his dad is.
I accidentally slandered your parents, and then you accidentally slandered Nate's parents. Let's get Keith's parents in the mix.
Hey, why not?
Oh, and mine too.
Let's throw them all under the bus. But yeah, so I think the song's basically just about him like not being able to accept that really, and how he got to a point where he can, you know, sort of accept that his parents will die someday.
And I also think that this song is like about him wanting to take care of his parents too. And his parents being like, we're done.
We're taking care of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't need to take care of us anymore. Like, go do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that coming to terms with the fact that your parents are going to die is something that is way more relatable to me now than it was when I was first listening to this band, only because it's more distant when I was in college at the time. And now, the older I get, I'm like, shit, my parents are like close to retirement age.
Yep.
You know, it's just more, it feels more real now. And my parents are like, it's weird to be at an age where my parents are like some of my best friends.
Yeah.
It's not like a really losery thing to say, but like, it's like honestly how I feel. And obviously, it would be a huge loss to lose your parents. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
My cousin always talks about, she has like a teenage son, and she's always like, he hates me now, and then in 5 years or 10 years, we'll be friends. And I was like, oh, that's weird that you have to like hold out for that. But that's like definitely the relationship everybody has with their parents.
100%. Yeah, because they're an authoritative figure when you're trying to like live your life. Because you're a teenager, you think you know everything. You don't.
Yeah.
You have no idea. So they're trying to like.
Would you say
struggle.
You think you know, but you have no idea? This is the.
This is a real world.
This is a real world.
I would say you know me, or you think you do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You just don't seem to see.
Oh, yeah. You got anything you want to say about this, Pat? Keith?
No, I think we did it.
All right. Well,
what's the next song on your list?
Yeah. So the next song on mine is "Tie the Rope."
Oh, what a! This is another banger off this record.
It is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
This and the first single are the two that I would play on repeat from this album.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, man, I love this band so much. this whole album is incredible to me. I know most people are like more into Dog Problems. I think they're pretty much tied for me.
Oh, that's so good. You sing it, Keith?
I'm not gonna sing it.
Okay, come on, just sing
not
it.
On the radio.
He has such a high voice. It's even for like a
it's difficult
professional singer. It's
yeah,
that's
I always
a
have
challenge.
To go. I always have to go down if I'm when I'm singing in my shower.
Do you sing in the shower? Is that a...
Yeah,
for you
sure.
Sing in the shower? You yeah. do? Do you sing in the shower?
Of course I do, yeah.
I definitely have, would never. I don't listen to music
I'm like
in the
king of the stage in the shower.
I definitely.
That's a callback that the listeners didn't hear.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I never know what's like part of the preamble and what's part of the actual show. So my callbacks are 90% nonsense.
Fair enough.
I said that I don't sing in the shower, but I do sing in my car, and it can be said that I'm the king of the stage when I'm in my car. And that's what you're referencing. I don't sing in the shower, though. I don't listen to music in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
I don't either. I don't listen to music in the shower, but I'll just, like, I'll ask Kat what she feels like hearing today.
Take requests.
It's like, which Frank Ocean or Frank Sinatra song do you want to hear today? Those are your two options.
It's only the Franks.
Yeah.
I'm in and out in the shower.
All right. I'll
dilly dally.
Ooh.
I'm
great.
In and out of song in the shower.
go from song to song.
What were you gonna say, Keith, about this track?
I don't think anything. It's just fun. I just love this song. It's great. I mean, it's another song about like breaking up and stuff. So
it's a perfect example of what this band does so well, which is the music is really happy and up tempo, and the lyrics are
super
pretty depressing.
Yeah, depressing. He's talking about somebody literally kicking a chair out from under him and strangling him on the rope. That's what the song is about. Yeah. I mean, not literally. It's figurative, but you know.
He literally is.
He literally is speaking about it.
Speaking figuratively.
no, but it's like it's a super fun song, and it's about somebody trying to kill themselves, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, figuratively.
I remember. I don't know. This is probably just hearsay, but I remember hearing rumors at the time of them breaking up that one of the points of tension in the band was that Sam, the other songwriter. It was the tension between him writing happy music and feeling like, Jesus Christ, the lyrics you write are so goddamn depressing all the time. But what leads me to believe that's not true is he went on to be in Fun.
Yeah. Well, actually, that has like dark tones to it, too.
It does, yeah. Especially Aim and Ignite.
Though, I would say, right?
Do you want to play my next song? My next song?
Yeah.
Tune Out. If you want to talk about another super fun track off of this record,
mm-hmm.
It's so funny that we keep talking about the format and saying fun. but this one's another one that's like really singable and great. And this the chorus in this song, it gets me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first started listening to this record, I didn't like this track. Yeah, I remember specifically being like, oh, that whole album's great except for Tune Out.
It's pretty different.
Yeah, it is very different. And then over time, it became in my top three of this record.
This sounds a little bit more like what I'd expect on Dog
Problems.
Oh, good point. This is a Dog Problems track, isn't it? You can almost feel, this does feel like it comes from that song, that album.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that chorus. Right? Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Am I talking about music right?
That's
the chorus, right? Is it the bridge? Is it a coda?
Is that the chorus?
What is a coda?
That's a great question. I have two questions about what you just said. One, is it the chorus?
I think so.
Yes,
I don't know this song as well, but
okay.
I think that's
it. And two, what is a coda?
fuck. You had to ask me that.
Okay, don't answer
it. It's like a repeat, I think. I think it's like usually like... In music, sheet music, you'll come to like the end of a section, and it'll be like DSL coda, and you're going back to a specific point notated on the sheet music where you're repeating that section.
There's no way to prove you wrong on that, or right, for that matter.
Listeners,
we'll never know.
Comment on our Facebook post about why I'm wrong.
That's how you build a gauge.
Honestly, you don't have to tell them to do that; they will anyway.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way.
yeah, anyway, I would say give this... like Keith, do you listen to this track a lot?
All the time. I mean, I listen to this album all the way through so often.
Is there any track off this album that you previously were like, oh, I don't really love that track, and then over time you're like, oh, maybe it's one of the best ones.
I think Sore Thumb is like that for me.
Yep, that's another
I absolutely love that. It's one of my favorite. That's actually the one I have next.
Can we throw that on?
Jump it. Jump it is a phrase I like to use that means switch the track. So,
another great musical term. What do you think, band? Should we jump it? 4, 3, 2, jump it.
It rolls,
sounds like something you would do on a bop it.
It rolls so great off of the tongue.
So this is sore thumb?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so like
talk about music
really sticks out.
Nice.
Oh, I get it. I have to go though, yeah. Unrelated reasons. No, like this song,
it's stomach issue.
I hate that there's a part of my brain that's like, fucking say it.
You say that awful pun right now.
I have to remember that you said that. That's so funny.
I love this song now. I didn't at the time, and it was because it was weird because it was like super puristy of me, but I didn't think it sounded like the format when I first heard it. I was like, the rest of this album doesn't sound like this song in a different way than
Tune Out.
Because Tune Out was like, especially because
it still has the poppy vibe.
Yeah,
yeah. This doesn't sound very rock.
Like, this is like very rock forward, mm-hmm. and it's not something that you normally hear from the format. I don't think there's any song that they have like this. Actually,
they have some songs that like sections are more rock forward,
but not the entire song.
Like balanced
this.
Out. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, even the chorus in this song isn't like very singable. You know, like in the format's sort of, in my opinion, known for that. Like they hit weird notes. Am I talking about music? They hit weird notes.
We're finding that out.
They hit weird notes even in the chorus that it's not easy to sing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
His voice is so outside of my range. Like whenever I try to sing along to half of an album, I lose my entire voice.
Yeah. But this is a very, like, it's one of those ones that like you're not gonna nail it, but you're gonna try.
He nails it, though. I mean,
he kills
it. I'm sure we'll talk about the DVD they released of their like final show where they did Dog Problems back to back.
Did not
all the way
see
through.
That.
I've never seen it either.
It's
actually,
so goddamn good, and they sound incredible, especially Nate just nailing all his parts. I remember being blown away because of how soaring all his melodies are. That I'm like, there's no way he can do that live. And
did you ever get to see them in concert?
I never did.
Oh man, I saw them quite a few times, and every time they killed it. They just murdered it.
Yeah, even fun in concert is like, those songs are hard to sing too. And he's very talented.
Yeah,
have you ever?
Sure.
So I know I don't want to like deviate, but have you ever heard his solo stuff?
Yes,
it is boring.
I don't like it at all.
He should have a band
He needs Sam or Jack to get them musics going.
Yeah. So that's all of our tracks for Interventions and Lullabies.
Any last thoughts on that album in general?
Yes. Going to see them in concert on that, I have a very, very specific memory of standing in line to get into the show. And they played early. They were it was at a like UMass.
No, it was at a Bentley College.
At Bentley, yes, you were there.
Yeah, of course I was there.
And this was many, many years ago, and we were waiting in line to get in the show, and they opened for
Yellow
Something
Card
Corporate.
And Something Corporate.
Yeah, and they started playing, and first single, and Charlene, who's been on this show a few times, just lost her damn mind. I've never seen her body move the way it did. It was up and down and all over the building, and it just was so infectious, and she just grabbed everybody in our group. There was like, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 of us, grabbed us all and pulled us into the crowd, and then literally started the party.
It's true.
Charlene.
That 100% happened.
Is she a big format fan?
Yeah.
Yes.
And have you ever seen...
Should have had her come on too.
That would have been awesome.
This show is always a brodeo, and that's... something that bums me out.
I like the term brodeo.
Yeah, it's great. It's not mine. I can't claim
oh,
that.
Okay, damn it. But yeah.
That's a Flight of the Conchords original, I think.
Has Charlene been on Rhythm and Brews?
No. I tried to get her to come on, and she was like, very, very like true to Charlene direct was like, what would I even talk about?
Well, you could have talked about the format, Charlene.
I was like, how about this? And she was like, no. I love Charlene. She's like one of my favorite people. Kat and I were just saying today, we appreciate how direct and honest she is as a person. But yeah, she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But if I knew like format was like something I could maybe entice her with, and she might
especially
be more
if you had me and Keith on the show, I bet she would have done it. But that memory of her literally starting a party at the Bentley College show for format is
so much
one
fun.
Of my favorite.
That's awesome.
So that's my final thought. My Jerry Springer final thought.
Yep.
Dog problems. Who wants to kick us off?
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Should I start? So I have three tracks, but they're in no particular order. Does it matter?
I don't think it matters.
Were you expecting us to put them in like one, two, and three of our favorites?
No, it's not necessarily a countdown. It's just whatever makes the most sense in terms of the conversation, I'd even say.
Well, this is very early on in the album, and it's I'm Actual. This is
the inspiration behind my beer choice.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite songs. You know how you have those songs that like are on your Spotify playlist, and if they come on random, you'll never skip them?
Yes.
This is that song for me. It takes a while to get going, but that's I think part of its like majesty. It like it's very slow and ramps up even slower, but then once it gets big, you feel like you earned it.
And I mean, listen to, I can't believe how the balls that it shows to this early out of the gate have something that's such a departure from their last album.
Yeah. And I think it hits all the same tones thematically that you were talking about earlier, Pat. Keith. Sorry, sometimes I call Keith Pat. those themes of like I'm in this stupid world of the music industry and I don't want to be, and the good part is that I do want to be here, and the bad part is that they kind of don't even want me.
And it's super funny because before this album, Elektra Records, which is the album that they put out their first album on, went away. So they got absorbed into Atlantic. And when Atlantic heard the direction that they were going with Dog Problems, they dropped them completely.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And then they just put the album out themselves, which is like, it's crazy.
Crazy that you would drop this record. This record will be played at my funeral. That is my request.
100%. And they like, I'm with you all the way on that. And they like, this was on the best of like 2007, like a whole bunch of 2007 best of lists. And in some cases, it was the best album in some critics' opinions of that year. And like,
but it was probably what Tim was talking about. Like, Atlantic probably got this far into the record and was like, wait, this is what we signed up for. Like,
because it's very experimental, I would say. Like, it has some of the same feel of the last album at parts, but so much of it feels like a lost experimental Beach Boys or Beatles album. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it evokes for me.
I get like a weird like carnival vibe from it.
From this particular song especially.
Yeah, this and Dog Problems.
And Dog Problems, yeah.
But it just feels like very like Big Top to me.
Yeah, it's,
I know that's not like a form of music, but I think you guys...
I think that's why it reminds me of the Beatles a little bit, is that one weird like circus song they have.
But yeah, it's just like such a great song, and like, oh, like right here, if you're singing along in your car, you feel like a king. You're like, look what I did for you.
I also love the celebration of narcissism. Like, it's like so... let's take the next hour and talk about me, and that's like the entire song.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, sure, I'm down.
But I also feel like it's a little bit of like these songs aren't even like about me. You know what I mean? Like I don't get to write music about me.
Part of their like whole shtick still of like, that's what an album is like an artist like talking about themselves for an hour. So it's like that, almost that like meta analysis.
Yeah, almost like a version of you though, but not like who you actually are.
Yeah.
And that's
That's that.
What do you got, Keith?
It's actually the next song, Time Bomb.
I love how those go into each other, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll you know, I'm going to let you finish, but I'm talking about music. but Time Bomb is my least favorite track on this record.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I think it definitely has something to do with the transition between I'm Actual and Time Bomb.
That's
it
funny.
Feels so sharply different.
And I like that about it.
I do too.
Okay.
You're bad at talking about music. No.
I told you to get out before, Brian. I mean it this time.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about the song, you freak.
This is another one that's just sort of fun. I do like the transition between I'm Actual and Time Bomb because it's so sharp, and it's sort of weirdly sets you up for the rest of the album and the dichotomy of the tracks. There are other sharp moves.
That's such a good point.
In the album.
You should be writing this down. That's how you talk about music.
But there's a lot of sharp...
It's recorded. I don't have to write it down.
There's quite a few sharp turns in this album. And I think this, you know, the first two songs flow into each other almost like they're one song. You know, Matches and I'm Actual. And then it goes right into this, like, super fun pop song. Again, about breaking up with somebody. this entire album is about one girl. We know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her name is Becca?
Her name is Becca.
That was one of the things that when I was looking for beer, I was like, there's so many beers with like women's names in them. Maybe there's one that's Becca and I could go with that, but nope.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they had a pretty tumultuous relationship apparently, where they're getting together, you know, getting back together, and they apparently had many dogs, not just one dog. They had many dogs together.
Mm. Judging from this album cover, I'd say 25.
I don't think it was that much. But so they kept getting dogs and then getting back together and then breaking up. And I don't know what happened to the dogs at that point. I didn't hear anything about that. But, you know, just sort of... I just love this song. That's basically it. And I love the transition. That's the main reason why I
think that's a very astute observation, that it captures the almost bipolar nature of the tone of the record by having I'm Actual go right into this song.
Yeah.
And prepares you for pretty much anything. Because there are some really up-tempo songs. I think the song right after this is She Doesn't Get It, which is... Mm-hmm.
That's a single. That's my next song, which is so funny. We are literally just going right through this.
Going track by track.
Track by track. Oh, we skipped Matches, which is more of an intro.
That's another one where, like, just like the first single where I want to do those claps every time. There's like one specific part of She Doesn't Get It that it's the... And she stops and she sings... Do, mm-hmm. do 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 do, which you cannot mm-hmm. sound cool saying out loud,
especially not to the rhythm.
But like that part, I like always want to sing along to that. And we'll get there.
Yeah. I will say that this song paired with Snails does not feel like it's on the same record.
Yes. Well, that Snails was the other song that came to mind. Like, that's the opposite end of She Doesn't Get It for me, kind of.
Oh, I was talking about Time Bomb. Like Time Bomb and Snails, they are different songs.
Yeah,
completely.
For sure. Well, this almost has like a disco influence to it.
Yeah, actually, I'm hearing that now.
Which I think this is the only song you would say that about.
Yeah. All right, let's get into She Doesn't Get It. This is the single off this record, I think. Like, if you were a record producer and you didn't drop them... you would say, okay, they made She Doesn't Get It, and we're going to make our money back off this track alone. Like, this is a radio hit.
I am unapologetically a pop boy. Like, I Same. Love pop songs, and I didn't like this album for a long time because it was too weird for me. And when I listen to music, what I'm initially looking for is this. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I love this song, and the rest of the album is like too weird for me.
What about Oceans?
I love Oceans. Jeff, too.
Okay, all right.
But it took me a while to get into it. Like, I didn't like I'm Actual at first. Like some of the slower stuff. And then like this whole collection of songs works so well together as an album that it took me a while to develop that appreciation for it as well, because I'm such a single pop hook. That's so much what that's so much a part of what drives my taste.
I remember before, like, you could listen to a whole album before you decided to buy it. I would, you know, take a risk on an album based on a single, right? I mean, we've all had to do that, right?
Yeah, of course.
You hear a single, you're like, oh, I love this song, I'm going to buy the album. You buy the album, and then you're like, oh, I hate every other track on this record. That must have been how you felt when you first heard Dog Problems.
Well, my friends were really into them, so I heard it through them, and I was just like, like those songs, but overall it's not for me. There, I mean, in general, you know what it is? It's laziness. I'm a lazy person, and sometimes it takes work to appreciate an album.
If and then you're preaching about it. That's appreciating.
If it's not, appreciating. Yeah. If it, so, I mean, it takes work to listen to something that doesn't immediately catch your ear, that isn't immediately accessible in a pop sensibility kind of way. And so I think that's just maturity. That's part of, like, growing up and developing better taste, is being able to take the time to appreciate something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this album actually set me up for a lot of my, what I would listen to later on. Like, now...
Alkaline Trio, you mean?
No, not. That's the thing is, like, before this, I was
all
only
I know
listening...
about Keith is that he listens to Format and Alkaline Trio, and that is all I know about him.
What?
I don't know other
people. We're like one of my best friends in the world.
We didn't establish your relationship at all at the start of this. Maybe
I've known Keith like 20 years. I know two facts about him. I refuse to learn anything else.
Before this, I was mostly listening to like pop punk, like Alkaline Trio is my favorite band. And stuff.
See, we only know two facts.
But now, I've gotten more into folk and other genres that I didn't necessarily listen to until after the format sort of came into my life and it sort of changed. Like, I listen to more pop now. Also, I listen to Taylor Swift. I would never have listened to Taylor Swift before.
Don't worry, you're in good company. Well, definitely, yeah, me and Tim still listen to Taylor Swift.
That's
too.
Such a good point. It's not just that now you can listen to stuff that's more out there or heady. It's like, generally speaking, you are more critical about what you're listening to, regardless of the spectrum.
Exactly.
That it's on.
And they brought so many different genres to the table that I'm more open to now because of the format.
A gateway drug.
Yeah.
And they show you
they're marijuana.
They show you what it is to write more risk-taking music while still having a great pop sensibility, when there's music that's more experimental and sometimes just comes across as being weird for the sake of being weird, like, I can't really get into that.
Yep.
But they're like infusing pop into something that's new and different and interesting. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And they keep a pop sensibility that is like why pop music's popular, right? It's like, you don't have to think about it.
And I guess that's where I was going with it too, is people often look down on pop music because they think, oh, it's lame and it's what's on the radio and whatever. But I think people underestimate how hard it is to write a great pop song that everybody wants to listen to over and over again and sing along to. And so bands like The Format, who do that so well, who are so good at writing pop songs, but also doing it with as much artistic integrity as they have, is really impressive.
Absolutely. Agreed.
What do you got next on your picks for this record?
So I think we should probably save Dog Problems for last, because
I will say that is my last track. So maybe switch your...
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Keith, why don't you do one more and then we'll end with Dog Problems.
Okay.
So I think probably next would probably be Snails. It would have to be. It's necessary.
So is Snails a bonus track?
No.
That was on the original release?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the bonus track? Lottery?
It is called... Lottery Song. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I always get this and Lottery Song confused. They're both like...
Confirmed. It's Lottery Song.
Great.
According to Spotify.
Okay. Talk about Snails. Sorry.
So this song is kind of funny because it's actually had a new sort of meaning for me. Because at the... I don't know. It's about.
I literally saw the gears turning in his head.
it's
literally,
about sort
figuratively
of
saw them.
It's about seeing the beauty in life, in and taking things slower. And it's about family. It's about, you know, seeing the people that you love and wanting to be with them. And it's really just about like family and love and just like,
it's another one about his parents. Slow.
Yeah. It's partly about his parents, partly about his dog. At the beginning of the song is about
partly about like a new relationship too, yep. Potentially. So
100%.
One of the things that stuck with me is the lyric, "Why are you so quick to kiss?" And I think part of what comes, so much of this is about how he's dealing with the breakup with Becca, mm-hmm. and the song "She Doesn't Get It" is almost like one version of it, or maybe it's a time bomb. I'm gonna sleep with the next person I meet.
Yep.
And it's just like going through that phase of like the pain of a breakup, and then this is sort of like, why are we rushing things?
Yep.
Not wanting to rush into something new because he's in another phase of that.
Yeah, yeah. Taking it slow.
And
yeah.
he's still well, like at the beginning of the song, he talks about how his dog ran away. The dog that he had with Becca ran away at the beginning of the song. And then later on he talks about how, you know, his love for, you know, the dog is deep, and how his love for his family is deep, and how, you know, he wants to just like experience life at a slower pace, I guess, and just love who he loves and not have to deal with BS, I think. But yeah, this song is gorgeous in composition and in topic. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty stripped down arrangement too, compared to a mm-hmm. lot of the other stuff they have going on, but it still really works and complements his voice really
and very hopeful too. Like a lot of the songs that preceded are angry and self-indulgent, and then this one seems like it's not even so much about him.
It is a little bit more positive. It doesn't have as cynical a tone as some of the songs do,
for
or
sure.
as jaded a tone.
Yeah. What? So is this the second to last track or the last track on this?
No, it's the fourth to last.
Okay.
Because The Compromise is after this one.
It's mm-hmm. another great
and
one.
We're not going to play that one, but that's another song about the music industry, how they wanted him to write. They wanted them to write like a single, and they were like, well, we'll write this song. It's called The Compromise.
I like that.
And it's basically a compromise. It's a single sounding song about how they don't want to write a single.
About how they don't want to write a single.
Yeah.
Literally. And how like they signed on the dotted line and they have to do this.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. I love this band.
So my last track on here is the title track and also easily the best song on this record.
Easily one of my favorite songs ever.
Of all time. Yeah. It's Dog Problems. And this, I remember hearing this for the first time. I was driving. And for some reason, I have a very vivid memory of driving through a parking lot that had a bunch of chain link fences everywhere. I don't know why that image is like burned into my brain. But I heard the song, and once it picks up and it gets like really fun and like almost like dancey a little bit, I remember just like audibly laughing in my car. And like just like slapping my knee being like, oh my God, what is this song? It was like, it was exactly what I needed to listen to and the exact song that I knew would make, like, you want to point at something like, oh, what kind of music does BWK like? Like, turn on Dog Problems. That's the song.
And also talk about another song that embodies the perfect juxtaposition of the tones and styles of this album. This mm-hmm. song goes everywhere.
It does. And it's funny too, because this song has a lot of references to other format songs in it, and it's almost like a wrap up to their entire this is their last album, obviously, and it's almost like a wrap up to their 5-year career. You know, they just make this song that references all of the things that, you know, it's basically, it has all the themes that Nate talks about in all his other songs, mm-hmm. and literally mentions Becca by name, who's he's written I think both of these albums about. And it's just it's a good wrap up, even though it's in the middle of the album. It's a good wrap up to their sort of career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it's not an accident that it's the title track.
No.
The lyric, we're both parallel lines running in circles.
Yeah. Never Meant to Cross.
Never Meant to Cross is, it's taken me like years to deduce what that means. You know, like I've spent like so much time like thinking about that lyric. And I don't know, it's just in the middle
Which
of
lyric?
This.
Parallel lines were running in circles were never meant to cross.
Yeah, it's just like this like beautifully poetic line just in the middle of this, of like the when this song gets chaotic. And this song gets chaotic too. There's like a lot of sounds happening at once. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like it should match. And then over time you just really get used to appreciating it.
I love that line too. The sound of my heart breaking. I hope it's entertaining because for me it's a bitch.
Yeah.
It's so relatable. I mean, especially at that time, like, again, for me was my college years. You could totally relate to that feeling as part of a breakup. Especially if you were in a band at the time, which I was.
Yeah, it's just a really beautiful song. And it's a mess at times too. Like it hit me perfectly the first time I heard it, but I can totally understand somebody hearing this song and saying like, this is a mess. This is chaotic. It goes up, it goes down. And like where we are right now in the track is like a goofy spot to be in.
It's extremely ambitious. Like I couldn't point to another artist in the genre that did a song like this, you know?
This is when they're specifically calling out Becca, but they don't say her name.
They spell it, and he sort of tries to play it off like he's saying because, like he's trying to spell because.
Yeah.
And in the next line, he said he basically says like, "Oh, I don't finish phrases; I start." Like, hey, I was trying to say because. No, you weren't.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and it's very like a sing-talky. You know, like you can hear his voice in here. You can hear how nice his voice is, but like he's more speaking throughout, which makes it very easy to sing along to.
Yes,
because he's not using like the flourish he normally uses on his voice.
Yeah, totally.
Until he does in that song, and then you know, when you're driving singing, but you have the speaking voice that you're hearing now, and you're putting that to song, that's me singing. When it gets like to the flourishy parts, you for some reason feel like you did that well, and you're like, "Oh, maybe I could do this," but it's because he ramped up by basically talking through most of that song. Anyway, that's Dog Problems.
Yeah,
that's the format. Do you guys have any kind of final thoughts on them before we move into our drinking game portion?
The B-sides album that they have on Spotify is really, really good. It's very stripped down.
Mm-hmm.
Acoustic style.
Came out two years ago. They just put it out.
No joke. That didn't come out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The one with the B on the cover?
Yeah, right. Didn't it? 2 years ago, I think. Didn't it? 2016?
That's what it looks like, yeah, on Spotify.
Oh,
yeah.
I
but sometimes the dates are weird on Spotify. Like it's maybe when it was introduced to
no,
Spotify.
No, I'm pretty sure it came out.
I feel like I've been listening to that record for years. But hey, I'll concede. But yeah, that's the only other thing I would say. Listen to that.
Because like when they put it out, I thought that it was going to be. They like had like this like thing on their Twitter. Their Twitter was active again, and they had a couple. You know, they had like a Facebook thing happening, and I was like, oh my god, are they going to come out with a new album?
Oh,
and
do you remember when they counted down?
Yeah,
they had like a countdown on their Facebook or whatever,
and then it was just like a B-sides album, which is great. It's a great album, but
this is the one I'm talking about that came out in 2007.
Oh, it came out in 2007?
Yeah. This
they had a thing that happened 2 years ago. I thought it was
no.
That.
I remember you're right because I remember you like texting me and being like, "Do you see this countdown on the Formats website?"
Yeah,
and it was counting down to new merch. Do you remember? It was just releasing like
so
a
they
vinyl.
Have something that is called the Kenneth Room Sessions.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. That's live versions
live
of like,
versions.
Dog Problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that record sucks.
Really?
Well, I just don't like live recordings. And that's how I feel.
All right.
Keith, any last thoughts?
No, I think that's about it.
So for your drinking game today, we're going to do this sort of Jeopardy style. You've got these four categories in front of you. The format, interventions, lullabies, and dog problems. So each time you're going to pick a category, I'm going to read you a question from that category, and then you, the first of you to ring in with the correct answer, wins that question.
Oh, how do we? Does that make sense? How do we ring in?
I'm glad you asked.
Okay. Oh, there's like literally props.
You haven't been on when you used the buzzer before?
I've never been on Rhythm and Bruise before.
Well, on Conquest, we use it sometimes too.
Oh.
All right. Put that in a place where it's reachable to both of you.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward. You just hit that buzz button.
Okay.
All right. And then you'll have control of the board if you get it right. So you get to pick the next category. Make sense?
Yeah.
Are you gonna pick the first category?
Will it be a tiebreaker question or something?
The first one of you to hit the buzzer now gets to go first.
Okay, that was Keith for sure. But did it make a sound?
There you go.
Does it count?
Sure. You can go ahead.
I don't want to go first.
It's too late.
All right, BWK, what's your first category?
Let's do lullabies.
All right. So for lullabies, finish this line from a famous lullaby. And if that mockingbird won't sing, Papa's going to buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring turns to brass, Papa's going to buy you a... Keith.
Piece of ass. Is that not right? Oh, damn.
So take a drink. Every time you get it wrong, you're going to take a drink. Brian, you have a... BWK, you got a guess?
Diamond ring turns to brass.
I can give you multiple choice.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't get that.
I'm only going to give you multiple choice if you're both stumped.
Okay.
So A is looking glass.
Yep, that's it.
And B is patch of grass.
Looking glass.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so you have control of the board. Do you want to do another one of lullabies, or do you want to do a different
category?
Yeah, let's
do another lullaby.
All right, so finish the line from this famous lullaby. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, little baby. The buzzards and the flies, they...
Oh, I didn't mean to buzz in. It was like a...
It's too late. You buzzed
in. They drink gravy.
Keith, do you know? Or do we need multiple choice?
I've never heard this lullaby.
I think we need a multiple choice.
All right, so get your hands ready because you both can ring in for this. A is up above him, they fly. And B is they pick at his eyes.
Above him, they fly.
Nope, it's the other one.
What?
So take a drink.
That's ridiculous and very scary.
I definitely have to drink too.
BWK, you get the first one. Keith, you got the second one. And Keith, you get to pick the category.
Okay. I'm going to go with the format.
All right. So in the category of the format, according to the format's creators, what is the correct way to pronounce the file extension spelled GIF? Keith.
GIF.
Correct.
Good job. What do you want?
I want praise.
BWK, take a drink.
Okay.
I want absolute and utter praise at all times. I think that's not too much to ask.
Mm-mm.
All right, Keith, what's the next category? Are we sticking with the format?
No, let's go with dog problems.
All right, so dog problems.
I think I know things about dogs.
If Bill has two male dogs and Sheila has two female dogs and both males impregnate both females one time each, what is the minimum number of puppies that will be born, assuming the pregnancies both yield at least one puppy? Ooh, that was tough.
Oh, he didn't buzz, right? Did you buzz?
Nope.
Two.
No.
No.
So, take a drink.
Okay. But they can only be pregnant once.
Keith.
Four.
Correct.
Hmm. No.
Both males impregnate both females one time each.
But they can only be pregnant once.
Ever?
At a time.
It doesn't specify what time.
Yeah, the time is not finite in here.
I guess it does not specify. Yeah, okay.
All right,
it's not a group. It's not a group sex session. With
during a group dog sex section. That's hard to say.
All right, next category, Keith.
You know what? let's go with dog problems again. I liked that.
All right.
Dog math problems. That's great.
If my dog is 13 years old, how old is he in dog years?
This is the best category ever. Hold on.
Keith.
81.
Oh, no.
BWK? I was close, though, right?
83.
No. 7 years, right? 13. 7 times 10 is 70. 7 times 3 is 21.
Yeah.
Put those together.
Oh, 91. Correct. I'm a dumb.
I can't really give that one to either of you.
Because I'm an idiot.
But yeah. Tie goes to you, Keith, since you had control of the board before that. So
I'm still going to drink, though, because I'm stupid.
Yeah, you should.
I got it wrong, too.
You should drink as well.
Yeah, but
you should both drink and then study math.
I knew the thing. Oh. I just didn't add correctly
Something just occurred to me.
What?
They're dog problems. They're math problems.
I literally said that before I even chose the
category. I choose to listen to half of what you said.
That's fair. Let's go with interventions.
Okay. Which How I Met Your Mother character has an intervention staged on their behalf to address their obsession with magic? Keith.
Barney.
That's correct. BWK, take a drink.
Okay. I watch that show. So.
I can do How I Met Your Mother questions all day, son.
Is this entire category How I Met Your Mother? Yeah.
It's not, I promise.
It could be. They had many interventions on that show.
That's true.
Okay. Keep going. Pat.
Right. Let's go with the format.
All right. So what does the file extension CSV stand for?
Comma separated values.
Correct.
Wow.
BWK,
is that really
drink.
What that stands for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was going to say Excel.
What?
You ever drink
you
out
are
of a...
You're dominating this board, Keith.
I'm so sorry.
You ever drink out of a beer can and your beard gets stuck on
yes,
the can?
It happens literally all the time.
I know. Me too.
It's no fun.
Can't grow a beard, so.
But you've got other qualities.
You've got an amazing speaking voice, and I think that's what really matters in a format such as this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's so breathy.
Oh, yeah.
What if that's how I did the podcast? Hello, and welcome to Rhythm.
And suddenly, this is ASMR.
It does sound sexier.
Yeah.
I have to sip some Coke to cut this beer.
All right, fair enough. Let's go with another interventions.
All right, so the A&E show Intervention ran for how many seasons?
Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay, how about 5?
No, I think it's
way
more than
that. I'll give you options. It's either 21 or 16. Keith.
I want to say 21.
It's 16.
What?
Take it.
Is it 16?
Yes, it is. But you don't get that one. I can't get that to either of you.
That's a lot of seasons.
Too many.
But just for the sake of fairness, let's give you control of the board, BWK.
I'm going to stick with interventions.
Okay.
Is that what you would have done anyway?
I have no idea.
Which of the following is not one of the three major intervention models in use today? A, the Johnson model. B, the Arise model. C, the BJ Fogg model. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with the BJ Fogg model.
Correct. Do you actually know the
I have no idea,
models?
But BJ Fogg sounds like a made-up name.
It did sound
it
fake.
Actually is a real person. He's a behavioral psychologist, I think.
Oh, okay.
But he does not have one of the modern intervention models.
Did I did that very confidently.
Yeah, it was confident to the point. Like, and look, you also had your fingers up like you were counting them. Like you knew which like, three
oh,
were
I,
the right ones.
I 100%
oh, yeah, Johnson
knew.
Model for sure.
Absolutely. Done that.
What do you got next, Keith?
Oh, yeah, I have to pick another one. I'm going to do, you know what, the format. I feel like that's fun. That's all about file extensions. I like it.
What does VHS stand for?
Oh, boy.
BWK.
Is it like video home system or something?
Exactly right.
Woo!
So take a drink, Keith. You're probably thirsty over there.
I've been drinking every time I get one right, too, so it really...
none taken. Let's do a format again.
All right.
And I'm just realizing that that's about file formats. You're clever.
Thanks, man. I should also say there are only 4 questions in each category, so this is the final format question.
Okay. I do want to say I did immediately know the lullabies one, though. Like
when I said it.
Yeah.
When it was literally about the thing that it is.
Yeah. No, I knew the lullabies one right away. The dog problems one, it took me 2 questions, and the format one, it took me 2 questions.
I think it took you three questions.
All right, the final format question. Which of the following is not considered a standard image file format? PNG, JPEG, BMP, TIFF, XFG.
XFG.
Correct.
You busted before you said it.
He knew the last one was going to be the
big one. Because I know the other ones are real. Yeah.
So take the drink, BWK, and Keith, you've got control of the board back.
Woo!
And again, remember, the format is now off the table.
Out of here. That's out. That's done. Let's go with dog problems.
All right.
I don't like that you picked that one. Is this the last dog problem?
I think I'm going to have to give you, unless you're going to sit down and actually do arithmetic by hand, I'm going to have to give you multiple choice on this one. But
okay.
Rex weighs 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. Spike weighs 25 pounds. Trixie weighs 14. And Max weighs 12. If Max, Spike, and Trixie step on a scale, and then Trixie steps off and Rex steps on.
Oh, my God.
What is the difference between the first and second scale readings?
Why did you pick that one?
What do you mean pick? I wrote that.
That's
shit.
Amazing.
Did you really write it?
I wrote all of these.
Oh, my God. You're so smart.
I could, all right, I could do that, but I feel like it would be really boring in podcast.
Yeah. We'll be right back after these messages. This episode is brought to you by Hard Simple Arithmetic. So I'm going to give you multiple choices.
Okay.
So get ready to buzz in. The answers are either 26 or 22. BWK.
How about 22?
It's 26.
I win again.
Well, you don't. I can't give that one to either of you.
26.
But, no.
God damn it.
Good try, though. Are you keeping score?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, damn. I don't want to know it.
All right. So, Keith, I'll give it to you, BWK.
I'm basically going to pick whatever he picks anyway. Dog problems. The final one.
Yeah.
The average dog sleeps 13 hours a day. How many hours a week does the average dog spend awake?
77.
Holy shit.
You didn't buzz in.
Wait.
77.
I think I did something wrong here. Hold on.
That's 13 hours a day. That's 24 hours a day. That's 11 hours a day that they're
You're
awake.
You're right. I just highlighted the wrong one for some reason. Oh.
Good job, Keith.
Yeah. So right, take a drink.
Okay.
And then, Keith, we're done with dog problems.
So inventions or lullabies?
Yeah.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with interventions.
All right. This is the last intervention question. In what year did the U.S. begin to intervene in the Kosovo War? Keith.
I think it was 2000 and I mean, I'm sorry, 1997.
Do you have a guess?
2002.
No, you're both wrong. And I can't give you multiple choice because one of them was the wrong one you just guessed, Keith. So I can't give this to anybody. It was 1998.
Split the difference.
I knew I was in middle school, but I couldn't remember what.
So all we're right. down to just lullabies. I think we've got, two songs left there.
Okay. Lullabies.
Okay. What artist sang the 1998 song Rockabye?
Oh, I don't know music.
I know this. I know who it is. I know his name.
You want multiple choice?
Yes, please.
Tal Bachman
or
Sean Mullins?
Sean Mullins.
Correct.
Tal Bachman.
No, Tal Bachman is a
I know
person.
Him. Oh, yeah. Okay. Did you listen? We'll talk later.
All right.
No, he won't.
I definitely will forget to bring up Tal Bachman later.
Well, unless it comes up naturally.
As he does. Example, as he does so often.
Say, for example, someone is so high.
Like in a very contrived drinking game. All right, so that brings us to our last one. Keith, Well, I don't know why I directed that at you. This is for both.
I mean, because I'm going to get it anyway.
This is your chance to come back and win this.
If I do,
and I should have said that. Maybe you'd be more motivated if I said this up top. You're playing today for a copy of Drinking Buddies, the Drinking Man's Thinking Game.
Oh shit!
Oh,
so this one, I frankly don't think you have a chance.
But frankly, if it's 1 point each, he
don't
has
get confident.
Zero.
How does the second verse of Ba Ba Black Sheep start? And I can give you multiple choice if you need.
The second verse or the second?
The second stanza.
Hold on.
Okay, do the choices.
A, Moo Moo Brown Cow, have you milk for me? Or B,
I really hope you made that one up.
Cluck Cluck Red Hen, have you any eggs?
Wow, they're both so likely.
They're both so bad. I'm glad we don't.
You just have to. You have to remember
I'm
that.
Glad we don't know that part.
You have to remember that one of them Tim made up.
That's not true. They are both from the actual song.
Oh, that sucks. All right. How about the cow one?
No.
How about the cow one? And it's
you
wrong.
Are so unlucky today. Like in every single game of chance that's occurred here, you've lost.
All right, so that's the last question.
Yeah. So, Keith, congratulations! Amazing. You win today's drinking game.
Yay!
Thank you both for playing. We're just about to wrap up, but I guess I'll ask you, BWK. Do you have anything to plug for yourself?
Oh, sure. Listen to Top 5 of Death. I guess that's my only plug.
Great podcast.
Thank you.
You want to tell anybody about it?
I have been on that show for 4 years. I do not know how to tell people about it. It's a top five list thing, and I'm sure there's, I don't know. It's a top five
you
list.
You were the third of three guests from that show to appear on the show.
This week?
Yep. They were here. It's they were here right before
tour.
Us.
How many episodes do you release a week? Wait, who's the other? So, Jeff
and DJ.
They were on last week's episode.
Jeff was on our Local Brews episode. DJ was on a handful of them. He's been on our Oasis episode. He also did a couple of our roundtable ones.
Mm-hmm. But I've been on Conquest a lot, so yeah. I would also like to plug Conquest.
Conquest, also great show.
Great show, yeah. Keith, got any plugs?
I do not do any podcasts except for this one right now.
Any creative projects?
No, I'm not a creative person. But
I would beg to differ based on your contributions to our conversation today.
Well, thank you very much.
You could plug a Popsicle Park.
Yeah. We Brian and I used to have a written kind of sketch comedy video thing on YouTube. It's called Popsicle Park. You can check it out if you want. It's people think it's funny.
I've done a lot of work to prevent people from finding it. So
me
it's
too.
Funny that we're talking about it now.
That is correct.
Yeah, whatever. They're funny.
I'll link to it on Facebook.
Yeah. I have a Twitter if you want to follow me. It's at Keith Lyons.
Perfect.
I was an early adopter.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when we got Twitter at the same time, which was first time initially when it launched.
Yep.
And it was just about texting people. Do you remember this?
Correct.
It was like basically you set up like a text group and you'd send your tweet, which would just send to people's cell phones. And that was Twitter.
It was
back
great.
In my day.
Yeah. It was definitely not better. Like what we have
it's
today
way better
is
now.
Way better, yeah. But that's why there was a text limit on
it. That sounds to me like someone made that up and someone was like, that's pretty good. Keep going.
Yeah. And shit, you launched it already?
More now. Yeah. Give us more.
All right.
I think that wraps us up here. I'll just close with one final plug for wasted-minds.com. That's our website where you can find links to our other podcasts. And if you go to wasted-minds.com/Kickstarter, you can sign up for our Drinking Buddies Kickstarter mailing list so we can let you know as soon as our campaign goes live, which should be in the next couple of months. All right. Well, then, thank you again, Keith and BWK, for being here and to everybody listening.
You got it, bitch.
Our classic sign-off line.
Unnecessary.
You got it, bitch. To everybody listening, here's to you.
Yeah, okay.
Cheers.
Click, click, click. You think it's cool to be crazy.
I say upon rich, stay rich, there's no point taking chances. And me, I wouldn't call you sophomore son. I'd say one step closer.